Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be gathered once again in our Father's house to be served by Him first. You know, it's so many people, and I say this, but I say it over and over again because it's such a pervasive thing that's in our brain, is that we think we come to church to serve God, but predominantly we come to church because we need Him to serve us. And He does that out of His love and grace and mercy, that He serves us with acceptance, with the forgiveness of sins, with being adopted into His kingdom and being His children. And receiving forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so it's a wonderful thing to be gathered in our Father's house. So let us, as we begin this service, remember the day that we were baptized and brought in to this family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today, Lord, knowing that we are a mess, knowing that we don't bring a lot to the party, Lord, but that you and your grace have accepted us and loved us anyway, Lord, that you have sent your Son into this world to die for us so that we can live forever with you, Lord, that he bore our sin, carried our guilt, paid the debt that we owed, so that we do not have to pay. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us this morning. Help to seat this truth deep in our hearts. Help us to be able to remember it at all times, Lord, so that we can live in the grace that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for all of this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to bring our sins before our God in heaven. And what an amazing thing it is that we can do this, that we can confess and receive the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us. Let us do so now. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to sing praise and thanksgiving to God. And the reason that this forgiveness that we are enjoying right now that we just received is possible is because Jesus didn't just die for us, but rose for us. And that every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And so as is appropriate on the day of resurrection, let us sing of that miracle.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kevin. The sermon text for today is Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. My friends, it's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you today.
Can I have a little spot right there? Can I sit down right there? Did you guys bring your backpack, some of you? Cool. Very cool. Oh, sorry. You okay? Cool. Oh, it has a horse. That's okay. Because it doesn't matter. Because you have one. Cool. So backpacks are something that we take where?
School.
School. And we go to school to do what?
To learn.
To learn stuff, yes. So let's do a little review, see how our learning is going. Would you raise your hand if you already know or you would like to know how to count to 100? So raise your hand if you already know that or if you would like to know that.
Me.
Cool.
Me.
Cool. So here's another one. Raise your hand if you already know or if you would like to know how to mix paint to make different colors. That's pretty fun. Raise your hand if you already know or you would like to know the states and capitals of the United States. You're learning them? Would you guys like to know that?
Me.
Cool. Raise your hand if you know or you would like to know how to find the square root of a negative number. Me too. I actually heard a person that's really, really smart say that could be done. And I was always told that couldn't be done, but apparently it can. I don't know. So my older kids, my middle school kids, they would ask me a question sometimes that sounded like this when I was trying to teach them something. Mrs. A, will we ever use that in real life? Why do we have to learn that? And you know what? They were right. Because there are some things that you really don't need to know when you get a little older. But I want you to look, if Mr. Jason will do this for us. Verse 2 of our Old Testament psalm. Would you guys read that with me? so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. 3,000 years ago, that's even more than 100, 3,000 years ago, the Bible Psalm was written, and it said that your salvation, God's salvation, needed to be known by everybody. Everybody. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Does everybody need to know how to mix paint to make different colors? Does everybody need to know that? No. Does everybody need to know how to find the square root of a negative number? No. Does everybody need to know that there are some things that we do that are wrong and it's called sin and we all do it? Does everybody need to know that?
Yeah.
Yes. Does everybody need to know that God loves them? Does everybody need to know that God's son Jesus died on the cross to pay for those sins? Does everybody need to know that Jesus rose from the dead so that we can be with him in heaven forever? Yes. That is amazing. That is something everybody needs to know. And you know who gets to help teach people that? You, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. But we thought, Miss Lauren's so cool. She found something that is really going to help you teach that when you go back to school. So we have, she found these little clips, and it says, connected in Christ, 22:23, John 15:5. So what you can do is you can take this clip and you can put it on your backpack. Doesn't that look pretty cool?
Yeah.
And you can hang, you guys hang the coolest stuff on your backpacks. I've seen puppets and stuffies and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And when somebody says, you know what, that thing you have there is really cool, you know what you can say? You know what's even cooler than that? Is how much Jesus loves me. And you can tell them the story. And that way they will know too. And that is something that they will need to know their whole life.
I'm doing it on my backpack.
That's exactly where you can put it. So we're going to give you a clip, but would you pray with me first?
Yeah.
Can you do that? You can repeat after me, okay?
Dear God,
thank you for my school. Thank you for my teachers. But most importantly, thank you for Jesus. Help me to stay connected to him. Amen. So I'm going to have Oscar help me. You can get a backpack clip from Oscar or from me. And then after you have your clip, you can go to little worship with Maria back there. And if you didn't bring your backpack, you can put it on when you get home. How's that? And I hope you guys have an excellent, fabulous, wonderful school year. And don't forget to tell people about Jesus. There you go. Everybody get one? There you go.
We have a lot of cocoa.
Cool. Somebody forgot their new school outfit. Thank you.
If anybody didn't get their clips, don't worry. We will get them to you later. Let's see here. All right. My dear friends, today's text, a little strange, don't you think? It wasn't that long ago, you know, we had in our, as the text for the sermon, John chapter 4, which is when Jesus was traveling through Samaria and he found this lady at the well, right? And this was a lady who really didn't expect him to interact with her at all. And he started a dialogue with her. She even protested, like, why are you talking to me? You know, I'm a Samaritan and you're, you know, a Jew. That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what's happening right now. But Jesus loved her and gave her attention and taught her, or, you know, actually revealed to her what who he was and what he was there to do. And then today we have Jesus interacting with another Canaanite woman. Only this time he interacts with her quite differently. She comes to him with a request, and it's a request that any parent would understand, right? Her daughter needed a miracle. Her daughter was possessed by a demon, and she, I'm sure, had tried many things. I mean, what parent wouldn't? And she finally heard that Jesus was close by, and so she comes to him and she says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Which is a really interesting thing for a Canaanite woman to say, right? I mean, this Son of David thing is something you'd expect to hear from a Jewish person to understand exactly what that means, Son of David, this promised one, this descendant of David that everybody was waiting for. But she knew enough. She'd heard of Jesus. She obviously understood a bit about him. And she came to him with a request, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what was Jesus' response? He ignored her. Ouch, right? And finally, she became such a pest, following him around, asking him just over and over again, Son of David, have mercy, that the disciples got annoyed with her and just said, Jesus, just send her away. She's just pesty. And Jesus kind of sounded like he was confirming what the disciples were saying, I'm just here to serve the lost sheep of Israel. You know, this lady's not part of Israel. So, yeah, we don't need her. And she persisted. And finally, Jesus talks to her directly and says, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. You thought being ignored was bad. Now she's just insulted. And you got to wonder, what on earth is going on in this situation here? And well, you know what? If we rewind just a little bit to the text that comes right before this one, it kind of becomes a little bit more clear, because in that text, Jesus was approached by the Pharisees. And they came to Jesus, only they were not coming to Jesus humbly and making a request. They were coming to Jesus with judgments about the conduct of Jesus and his disciples. He said, they came to him saying, why do you and your disciples wash or eat without washing your hands first? Because there was a ceremonial washing that the children of Israel were supposed to do before they ate. It was part of the tradition, and Jesus was not doing this. Anyway, he was also in trouble with them for, you know, he's in trouble with them all the time, of course. You know, he kept treading on their traditions. And Jesus looked at him and he was talking to his disciples later, and he said, don't you understand? It's not what goes into you that makes you unclean, but it's what comes out of you. Because what comes out of you comes from the heart. And it reveals what's inside. And so we can know that you're unclean because of what you speak. And the Pharisees were offended by this. They, because why? They were good at doing. Speaking's a lot harder, though. You know, not speaking ill of people, not talking people down, not doing... Pharisees were not good at that. But they were good at eating all the right things and washing at the right times and doing all the right traditions. And now we have another person coming to Jesus. And this is a person who the Pharisees were the people who were perceived as clean, but actually showed that they weren't clean by what they said and were offended when Jesus told them they weren't clean. And now we have this lady who is not even one of the Jewish people. In fact, she's a Canaanite. If the children of Israel had done what God told them when they came into the land of Cana, they were supposed to wipe out all the Canaanites, but they didn't. So this lady was still around. She was one of the people who God was looking at and saying, these people are dangerous for my people. These are the people who will lead my people astray. These are the people who are bad, who you need to avoid, right? Don't intermarry with them because they will lead you into sin. It was the message that God gave over and over again. And now we have this Canaanite woman coming to Jesus with this request. And Jesus ignores her. Now, have you ever felt ignored by God? You ever come to Jesus with a request? One that hurts you deeply, one thing, something in your life that you would so badly want resolved? Have you ever prayed for your child? God, just help my child with this, just this, this one really big thing. Lord, please help my child. You can imagine what this lady's going through. And Jesus ignored her. And what was her response to being ignored? Did she get offended? Did she just chew Jesus out? Did she go around talking bad about Jesus to a whole bunch of other people? Because obviously this Jesus just doesn't love people the way he says he does. What did she do? She kept asking. Now, that just doesn't make much sense. If you've got a guy who can help but just isn't willing, ignores you, I mean, how long are you going to do that before you just turn your back and say, this is ridiculous? Except she had some knowledge of Jesus, right? She knew about Jesus being the son of David. And you've got to wonder what else she knew about this Jesus, because she did persist in asking. That there was something about this Jesus that had been revealed to her that she believed. In spite of him ignoring her, she persisted in believing that he would help. And so she kept asking. And then Jesus calls her a dog. And she didn't stop asking. And she didn't get offended. She just kept going. And not only did she not get offended and not argue with Jesus and say, I am not a dog. I am a person. You know what I mean? What would we have said if somebody would call us a dog? That would be not good. But she believed something about Jesus. She believed that Jesus spoke truth. Because when Jesus called her a dog, not only did she not argue, she went with it. She didn't say, I'm not a dog. She said, okay, I'm a dog. But you are so amazing. Your mercies are so plentiful. Your power is so great. All I'm asking for is a crumb from the master's table. I know I don't deserve this. I know I'm a mess. I know I come from all the wrong places and all the wrong people. But I believe that you have mercy even for me. And Jesus looked at the woman and he said, "How great is your faith? How profound your faith that you believed in spite of what you see. That even though I ignored you, even though I insulted you, you believed what you knew to be true about me. How great is your faith? Your request is granted." Now, is this a formula for how to get your way with God? I mean, people love to do that, don't they? You know, it's like, hey, this lady got her daughter healed, so let's do exactly what she did and we can get God to do what we want God to do. That's not what this is about. What this is about is helping us understand exactly what faith looks like in the world. This lady had heard about Jesus. The Spirit had given her faith. She understood. How much she understood, how deep was her theology, you know, how well-rounded was her education in Jesus and everything Jesus was there to do. Who knows? We couldn't possibly know all that. But she knew one thing. She knew that this Jesus had mercy on people who didn't deserve it. That he would take care of even people who are on the bottom of society. And that faith caused her to continue asking well beyond the point of rational persistence. I mean, at some point you just give up because it ain't working. But she would not. The thing is that when we pray, first of all, why do we pray? You know? I mean, do we pray because God tells us that we should pray? Is it just an exercise of obedience that God says, do this, and so we do it? Do we pray because there are things that we need, and we just want to make sure God understands all of our needs? Do we pray because... we know we have a loving Father. We know that Jesus loved us enough to sacrifice himself for us, to bear all our sins and carry our shame and pay the full penalty of our sin and everything that we deserve so that we can go to heaven. Do we pray because we know that the Spirit works in and among us, building up our faith and helping us and pointing out the places in our lives where change needs to happen and then empowering us and giving us the strength to fight against that sin? Do we pray because we know we're being heard and that the God that hears us loves us? Because I think that sometimes when we struggle with prayer is when we start to get the wrong idea about God. When we start to believe that God is just ignoring us. When we believe that God doesn't care about us. When we believe that God doesn't think well of us or want what's best for us. And so we quit. And here's the thing. We've been given faith. The Spirit has come to us. We have read his word. We know of his love. We know of what he has done, what that love drove him to do. We know the depth and richness of it. We know that that love didn't just count for Jesus, you know, 2,000 years ago so that he died on the cross, rose again, but that he is with us every day, that he promised us, he gave us work to do in this world. And he says, as you do that work, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, I will be with you always. And he promised that he would send the Spirit, and he was faithful in doing so. And so today we have that Spirit that lives within us, that guides us, that helps us, that gives us words to say in the right time, that gives us the right questions, that gives us understanding of his Scripture, that helps us to remember at just the right moment, not just to remind other people, but even to remember ourselves exactly who God is. And why we continue to turn to him, because we know he loves us. Guys, this Canaanite woman, this person that, you know, nobody would have respected back then. What an example she is for us. You know your sin. You know how fallen you are, how short of God's glory you are. You carry guilt. You carry shame. You carry regrets. And the devil loves to use those regrets to get you to think, get you to forget how precious you are to God, get you to think that, you know, you've messed up so badly, Jesus couldn't even love you anymore. Get you to think that, just get you to think about your sin and focus on that rather than focus on the forgiveness that Jesus has earned for us, and focus on his grace and what God says about you now. And what God says about you now is this: you are my child. I died for you. I rose for you. I am currently in heaven preparing a place for you. I am with you always. I've sent my Spirit into this world, into you, so that you can have faith in me. I will give you strength. I will give you purpose. I will give you work to do in this world, not so that you can earn forgiveness, because you already have that forgiveness. Come to me when you are in need, because I love you. I want what is best for you. I'm not promising it'll be easy, but I'm promising it'll be meaningful. My friends, never forget the love that God has for you. Never forget to pray. Never forget to be persistent in your prayer, because that's what faith looks like. Knowing who God is, regardless of what we see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're an amazing God, a God who loves us each individually, even though you are so powerful and so great and created all things and hold all things together. Lord, you still have regard for each one of us, Lord, for me. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in my heart, continue to grow us ever closer to you, Lord. Help us to know you, to love you, to trust you, Lord, so that we can embrace that peace, Lord, that you have for us, and so that we can pray. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship now with by collecting the offering. As the offering is collected, please do record your attendance in the folders and let us sing. Let us sing of that wonderful cross.
On the wondrous cross, on where
My friends, please stand. As we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us, the faith that the Spirit has implanted in our hearts, this faith about our Jesus, using the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. My friends, it is now time for us to turn to our Father and pray, knowing that he loves us, that he hears us, and that he is going to do what is best for us in his wisdom. My friends, as we pray today, we want to remember the Penny Morris and her family as Ron passed away last week. And we also want to be praying, Lord, for all these children who are returning to school this time of year. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a God of all, a God over all, a God that watches over us, that loves us, that is with us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to trust in you, Lord. Give us that faith, Lord, so that we can have comfort, Lord, and peace, regardless of what we see in the world, because we know what is true about you, that you are our God, our Savior, our Lord, and that you will come back one day to take us to live with you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the Morris family, Lord, as they grieve the death of Ron. Lord, I pray that you would give them comfort, that you would shore them up, Lord, help them to be able to turn to you, Lord, during this difficult time, so that during this time you can continue to draw them ever closer to you, trusting in you, your mercy, your grace, your strength, in your love. Lord, I pray that you would be with the children, Lord, as they are returning to school, going away from all that ridiculous and boring freedom, Lord, and going to the place where they have work to do. But Lord, I pray that you would bless them in that work, that you would help them to grow in their knowledge and in their ability to think, that you would help them, Lord, to be able to worship you because of the things that they learn about the world that you have made. Lord, I pray that you would grow them in their faith as they grow in their knowledge. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the families of our congregation. Lord, you have given us these amazing, beautiful children. Lord, you have given us this gift of marriage. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to enjoy your great gifts. Give us wisdom and strength so that we can do the work you have given us, Lord, of being a spouse and being a parent or being a child, Lord. So that we can live out these relationships, Lord, in a way that brings you glory and us happiness and joy. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
God, I'm begging, please, again, I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness.
From strength to strength.
Friends, we have once again received from our God. He has served us. He has served us with his meal. And in this meal, he has served us with forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as his promise is true, depart in his peace. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand as we sing the final song together. Thank you. absolutely appropriate to clap as long as you're clapping at God. He's the one. Folks, a quick announcement. One thing I have for you today is Don and Pat McLaughlin. Okay, in the bulletin, you can see on the prayer page, we always have all the birthdays and we have all the anniversaries. We do that because we want you to be praying for each other. And these are some big occasions and kind of helps draw it to mind. But we've got a big wedding anniversary. Pat and Don McLaughlin have been married August 25th, 61 years. So that's absolutely fabulous and amazing. And then there was two more things that we need to pray about this morning. One I knew about and I just kind of neglected. And the other one I just found out about, and that's Kevin Ross. You guys might, some of the older members here probably know him. He's got some major heart issues going on and we want to be praying for him. And then I also found out that Carl Hoff is having some heart problems as well. And we want to hold him up in prayer as well. So can we pray really quick again? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, so much for the marriage that you gave Pat and Don, Lord, and that you've just helped them, Lord, and that you've empowered them, that you've given them that amazing marriage, Lord, and the tenacity and the joy, Lord, of 61 years of marriage, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to be with them as they enjoy life together. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Carl, Lord, and with Kevin, that you would help them, Lord. Give the doctors skill and help them to find the right answers to all their troubles, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these great men and the work that you have done in and through them. And I pray that you would continue, Lord, to make them able to serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, with that, I will see you in the back. God's blessings on your week.